Hello and welcome to the Rock and Roll Football Podcast on a day of high drama in the footballing world and the historical world.
Yes, it really is, isn't it? We go big on the Scottish game today. One of the best international football games of the decade, dare I say it?
I think certainly of a qualification campaign. Definitely.
Yes, but it had it all, didn't it?
And it all drama, that's goals, injustice hit. That had to be overturned, yes, overcome.
As you'll hear, all the reaction are coming up on the show today.
And we asked the question, what were you doing in 1998? Tweet us at R&R Football, at Matt Ford, at Real Dysonator.
Yeah, we heard from all sorts of people, didn't we? People on ferries, people in prisons.
That's what the 90s was all about.
Yeah.
Ocean travel and going to prison.
Yeah, yeah. And then the lucky ones were on one of those floating prisons.
Like the Bibby Stockholm.
Yeah, yeah.
We jest, of course, but we genuinely do talk to someone who was working in a prison in 1998. I don't want to ruin what we talk about, but, I mean, doesn't sound that bad.
No, it does sound good, yeah.
And you were knocking around that area at that time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. There's all sorts of stuff going on today.
It is, and so much drama at Anfield. But you've got all that to come. Enjoy it.
Brace yourselves. It's time for the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
Well, Saturday is already off to a barnstorming start in the Championship and in the Premier League after an incredible international break, especially for Scotland. The game in midweek, absolutely wonderful.
Some of the most amazing goals all in one game. It just doesn't happen, does it? It's so rare.
But it did the other night. We all saw it and we're all delighted for them. We will come on to that. We've got plenty of Scotland's glory to reflect on. But before then, it's time to preview a day of red-hot Premier League action with Matt Dyson.
Yes, and the international break also saw Steve McClaren fail to seal it up for Jamaica, and he quit as manager. So we say to everyone,
respect and one love to you all.
We always knew the Wally with the Brolly would become slightly Ali G while in charge of the Reggae Boys. We didn't know to quite the extent. Jamaica were a shoo-in to make the finals, but lost out to the tiny island of Curaçao, a place smaller than the Isle of Man, who are now going to the States instead of them after a 0-0 draw in McLaren's final game. It's not been a good week for Cole Palmer either. He's out for 3 weeks with a broken toe after waking up in the night and stubbing it on a door. We all know the pain of a stubbing, but imagine one that actually fractures your toe.
Ow.
Use your phone torch to see where you're going in the dark, man. Come on.
Yeah, but his missus might be like, you're always turning the lights on.
Just the screen light will do. A great selection of 3 o'clock for us to shine a light on this afternoon, including the Deichmann taking and improving Nottingham Forest to Anfield, where the Tricky Trees got an historic 1-0 win last season. It's fair to say Liverpool are not in the best of form either, but let's not start slot shaming yet and get carried away with the honeymoon period for the worm-eating Gruffalo. Rob Edwards, the man who almost got Luton relegated 2 seasons in a row, takes charge of Wolves for the first time at home to Palace. Despite having a decent 3 months managing Middlesbrough, he seems to have mainly been given the job because he used to play for them and his family live in the area, which is all very nice, but the side are rock bottom of the table without a win all season. He'll be looking to emulate how well Keith Andrews is doing at Brentford, the former set-piece coach of the Bees, who looks more like a golfer to me than a football manager.
Yeah,
takes
smooth
his Brentford
face.
So very smooth.
Smooth face
to Brighton
privilege.
For a quick round on the South Coast on a blustery Lynx course. Struggling Fulham, who are looking dangerously close to falling down a rabbit hole under the Mad Hatter Marco Silva, can expect malice from Sunderland, who are having an amazing season so far. Also, Bournemouth trying to recover from 2 defeats in a row going into their home match against Nuno's improving West Ham. Then later at 5:30 today, it's the battle of the two big blonde boys, Haaland versus Walter Marder. Drago on Drago action. The ponytailed Norse god meets the reincarnated of Rudy Voller, the huge European goal machine squaring up to each other as Man City travel to Newcastle. Away the big lads.
Oh! Dyson! Malice in Sunderland.
Oh, yes. Did you like
genius.
That one?
Genius.
Thank you.
God. Frantically on Rhyme Zone on the train on the way in. Goal in the Championship, Dyson.
Yes, it's the third for Bristol City. They're now 3-0 up against Swansea in the dying minutes of that game. Southampton still 5-1 up at Charlton Athletic, and Coventry beating 10-man West Brom 3-2. In the Premier League, Chelsea are just about holding on, aren't they? Burnley look all right, but they're still losing 1-0 at Turf Moor to Chelsea.
the international break. Lots of people don't like. I always love it.
Yeah, this was an exciting example, but normally I hate it. I just switch, I turn away from football for the whole of it.
Wales beating North Macedonia 7-1, which guarantees them a playoff place, which is great.
That was big.
The Ireland game was unreal, but Scotland, first and foremost.
Yeah.
An incredible 4-2 victory against Denmark in the week, where so many times you've watched those games and their luck would go against them. They scored four phenomenal goals.
That overhead kick was ridiculous. What, 3 minutes in? You knew it was going to be a bit of a mad night when that happened, I suppose, didn't you? But then when it got to 2-2, you thought, oh, here we go. It's a familiar story, isn't it? But no, the magic happened.
The Tierney finish. Sensation. Oh.
I've watched it quite a few times. The slow motion version of it is beautiful.
The McLean goal. The scenes as well. The fact that it was at Hampden. Everything about it was perfect. Steve Clarke actually smiling.
Never seen it. Never seen that.
We've been told it wasn't possible. And we saw it. It was phenomenal.
Imagine being there for that. The atmosphere was amazing. The national anthem was unbelievable. It was so rousing, wasn't it? All the pubs.
Fear into the heart of every Englishman. And we're both patriots.
Yes. Yeah, but
proud
we love Scotland.
But we
love our Scottish friends.
We do. But delighted they're there.
And not in a patronising way. We're just very pleased they're there.
It's rubbish when the other home nations don't qualify.
Yeah, it is.
Because then you feel you have slight survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
Sorry we qualified. Yeah, sorry we keep getting to finals.
Rubbing your faces
probably win it.
Rubbing your faces it all summer long. Yeah.
Be nice to have you there when we win it.
Yeah. That's nice.
Everyone's happy then, aren't they? That's how it works.
That's the best way to do it.
But in all seriousness, we are genuinely delighted for Scotland. Now, the manner in which it was done, and we've got some fantastic clips coming up of just the drama and the joy and the celebration. It just makes you feel good about life.
Yeah, we've got a special guest on shortly as well, haven't we?
We have Celtic and Scotland legend Simon Donnelly. Donnelly is joining us. He was part of the France 98 squad the last time Scotland were at a World Cup. But if I genuinely think a lot of it is a rivalry, so we shouldn't be expected
when
to support each other. Play each other. We want each other to lose. Yeah. And we wouldn't want Derby to win.
No. That would
anything,
never happen.
Ever.
If they did the game like that, I wouldn't be celebrating.
Ever.
No, that goes deeper. That's hatred.
That's proper fun.
Yeah.
But if you're English and you wanted Scotland to win, text us on 81215. Because I actually think a lot of English people did want Scotland to win.
I'm pretty sure they did.
For a number of reasons, but just because you just thought, I'd rather them win than Denmark.
Yeah, of course, yeah, much better. I'm just happy for them. We should all be happy for them.
Goal in the Premier League!
It's a second for Chelsea. They've killed off Burnley and Enzo Fernandez has scored it in the 88th minute. He scored and then tried to stand on an advertising hoarding but lost his balance. Sort of fell towards the crowd. He didn't completely fall over, but yeah, it didn't look great. But yes, final whistle about to go at Turf Moor. So yeah, almost done. Final whistle has gone in the Championship. Bristol City beat Swansea 3-0. Southampton 5-1 winners at Charlton. And Coventry beat West Brom 3-2 and remain top of the Championship table.
So many great moments in the week that we've got to bring you now in Clickbait. All of them centering around Scotland qualifying for the World Cup since 1998. I'm not sure we're going to fit them all in, but let's have a go. Firstly, the winning goal from Kieran Tierney.
Oh.
Back in towards the edge of the penalty area. Again, it's a Danish head that gets to it. Not entirely clear. Kieran Tierney! Oh!
Typically impartial commentary from BBC Scotland.
Love it. Radio Scotland's commentary is amazing. His voice was going then, and then it really went late on, didn't it?
Scotland's goals were bangers. Kenny McLean's basic goal from the halfway line was incredible.
Ridiculous.
But not everyone agreed with the logic at the time. This is a Scotland fan watching it live on telly.
What are you doing?
Take it to the corner. Game management. No, just have a shot.
I kind of agree with the fact.
Yeah.
There we go. This is the impartial commentary from Radio Scotland.
As Hulman has it, he's surrounded. He pokes the ball back. Surely now Scotland will hold on to possession. It's McLean. He's looking to go for goal. From halfway line, it's chipped. Glorious! Glorious! Kenny McLean.
I can't get enough of it.
Love it.
This was the reaction of some Scotland fans after the game.
Absolutely fantastic!
What a game. We were superb the night.
My voice is gone. I predicted the second goal and I predicted the third goal. I didn't predict the fourth goal, but honestly, absolutely amazing.
Absolutely buzzing. We're literally planning a trip to the moon, a caravan and a car. That's what we've got, so that's
you
what
are, I'm selling them. And
I'm selling the wains and everything, man. I'm no joking.
He's selling his children. Wow, okay. But how are you going to get a caravan to America? They're going to sail. They can just get on a ferry.
Stick the caravan on a container ship.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's got a lot of time.
Care about the caravan's feelings. What's
He's
the matter
got
with
a lot
you?
Of time
Worry about the caravan, mate. They'll get it over there. Andy Robertson was interviewed after the game, and this was just a fantastic interview.
Beautiful.
Today I've been in bits. I know that the age of Matt and everything, this could be my last chance of World Cup. I couldn't get my mate Diogo Jota out of my head today. We spoke so much together about the World Cup. He missed out in Qatar because of injury, I missed out. But Scotland never went, and we always discussed what it'd be like going to this World Cup. And I know he'll be somewhere smiling over me today. And I just couldn't get him out of my head the whole day.
So cool. You forget, as fans, I think sometimes you don't always appreciate the pressure on footballers.
I know,
the things that go through their mind, the things they have to deal with.
Yeah, and the connections behind the scenes as well. And I love that it was just all with "Yes, sir, I can boogie" in the background. It's a beautiful clip.
Boogie!
No Scotland, no party. Come on.
Such a good tune. And the following morning, Andy Robertson and Kenny McLean were spotted strolling through the streets of Glasgow, but where were they off? Where were they off to and why?
Just going to get a roll. A roll.
Just going to get a roll.
A roll. A roll and sausage. And a can of ginger. Love it.
Oh, yeah, a roll. Man, you know what? These are elite footballers. Just off for a roll.
Love it.
You've got to go out for a bacon roll the morning after you qualify for the World Cup. Exactly what you want your players to be doing. A phenomenal night of drama. Football is amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Who else did you think I was talking to?
I thought you were going to press play on a song or something.
Yeah, it wasn't a rhetorical question.
It did feel rhetorical.
My God.
It felt rhetorical. I stand by that.
Matt, and you. Rock and roll football. Kicking you into shape. It's the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
It was amazing drama in the week watching Scotland qualify for the World Cup. We're joined now by a holder of 10 Scotland caps and a Celtic legend, Simon Donnelly. Simon, where did you watch it?
I watched it with my parents and my family. I went down to my parents' house. I took my youngest boy down, so there was a squad of us in the back living room where I've watched World Cups with my dad over the years, so I thought it was appropriate to go down and sit with him. So fantastic scenes, incredible night for Scotland.
And at what point did you start to believe that you would win the game and qualify top of the group?
When Kenny McLean hit the net at the last the halfway line. The goals are incredible, Matt. I mean, I've never seen that calibre of goal all in the one game with Scotland in the time I've been watching the national team.
It was phenomenal. So what's it mean for the World Cup then? How well do you think Scotland can do?
Listen, this group of players, I've spoke highly about this group of players for the last few years. They got to two Euro finals. I don't think we did ourselves justice. We got a bit of criticism. The team got criticism after the last campaign, but I think this team, they're experienced enough. Listen to Andy Robertson talking about it in terms of it could be his last chance at a World Cup. I think these boys have got unfinished business, so I hope they draw as kind to us. You see the scenes after it the other night, Matt, everywhere, you know, not just in Scotland with the Scottish fans. I think we bring something to a tournament, and hopefully the boys can go and do it justice with the football in the park.
It was, I mean, I'm still buzzing from it, and I'm English. It was just such amazing drama. You know, everyone has really loved this group of players, the way that they've qualified, the drama of the other night.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to the World Cup?
I don't know. I was getting texts off friends, as you can imagine, at the final whistle. I'm trying to work out if I've got any friends or family over there. I think everybody in Scotland will want to go. I think, again, I go back to my dad, who took me to all the Scotland games over the years. He's 78 now, so maybe I sit and watch the finals with him, you know, and I think that might be the special moment. It's been so long. Obviously, I was fortunate enough to be in the squad the last time, and my dad and mum were over there as supporters, probably not far around about my age just now, so that just shows you how long it's been since we've been there.
It's 98.
So, 98, it's incredible. So, no, just as you could probably tell, really buzzing for the other night. The nation is on a high, and we've finally made it back to another World Cup.
Also, if you're watching out at home, you know, you can have a crate of Tennent's, a kilo of tablet. Trying to source that sort of stuff in North America might not be that easy.
Exactly, exactly. And that's exactly what we'll be doing. When, as I said to you on Twitter the other night, bring on England, we'll take you in the group. That would capture the imagination of the whole country.
You don't want us in the group, mate. You don't want the dream to die too early, do you? I'm actually terrified. I say, I'm trying to sound cocky. I'm absolutely terrified of watching you the other night. Congratulations, Simon.
Cheers, mate.
Obviously, Scotland haven't been there since 1998. When John Collins scored against Brazil.
Yes. It was France 98, wasn't it?
What?
Yeah, I remember clearly because I had it. It was my last sticker book, my last Panini sticker book. Yeah, me and my mate Stuart, we were at university in Scotland at the time, in Stirling. We collected the Panini France 98 sticker book, filled it, and now we agreed to have like custody of it like once a year for the rest of our lives. He then moved to New Zealand, and I'm pretty sure he took it with him.
Let's get hold of him.
But Stuart, Stuart Murdoch, if you're listening, he's originally from Kilmarnock.
Very Scottish name.
Yeah, very. He's a very Scottish guy. You know,
Stuart Murdoch.
Kilmarnock. Golston. Golston, there was a theme park near Golston he used to work at. About very Scottish guy.
What was the theme?
The theme of the park. I need to look it up. But
rain.
He used to talk about it a lot. Yeah, rain, a theme park near Golston. But he's got the 98 sticker book still, I think. But I
come on, Stuart, hand it over.
Hand it over, man.
You, by rights, really, you should have it for the next... You should have it till you die,
really.
I want
it back, yeah. Loudon Castle Park, that was his called. Now, amazingly, our two producers on this show today weren't even alive in 98, which is incredibly depressing.
Terrifying.
Where were you in 98?
I was in Nottingham.
Yeah.
I'd have had my mock GCSEs in the summer of 98. I'd have been terrified. Yeah. I'd have been eating. You know what I really remember about that time as well as Britpop, etc. And I was always dozy. I always thought England were going to win everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I always believe and still do. Greggs, at the time, I think, was still called Braggs in the East Midlands.
Oh, Braggs. That's a deep dive, isn't it?
Same branding, but it was called Braggs in parts of England.
Wow.
And the vegetable pasty recipe back then was sensational. I think they were like 34p.
Braggs,
and my mum would get me two from a dinner.
Wow.
They were so good. So 98, terrified about my mock exams, listening to Oasis, Forest season ticket. We got promoted in 98, didn't we? Pierre Van Hooijdonk, Kevin Campbell. Remember us battering Middlesbrough 4-0 at home. We were rampant
and
that
then
season.
Van Hooijdonk went on strike afterwards, didn't they? Yeah.
The whole thing was carnage. So that's what I was doing in 1998.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
As well as all the other angst you have as a teenager.
You'd already started doing impressions though, hadn't you? I remember Jermaine Genus telling us on this very show you were going around doing your Tony Blair impression.
I was doing a Blair impression in 98.
98. Still doing it now. It's great to see.
I just haven't changed at all. Eating pasties, believing in England,
nothing's changed.
Tony Blair impressions. But what were you doing in 1998? Massive goal in the Premier League.
Yes, it pains me to say it, but Nuno is turning things around at West Ham United. Callum Wilson has scored 11 minutes in at Bournemouth. They're 1-0 up. This is a surprise.
You wouldn't
have thought it earlier on in the season, but things are turning. I think Bournemouth had a very bad international break. They lost a lot of players to injury, but still.
We know they're ruthless at home, though. There's plenty of time for them to turn that around. Forest still drawing 0-0 at Liverpool. This is the first time Dyson and I have been on the show together for quite some time.
Maybe over a month. It's about a month, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And thanks to everyone who came to the Palladium last Sunday to raise money for Prostate Cancer UK, myself and John Richardson. Co-hosting there.
Yes.
Absolute Radio Live.
I loved seeing you walking out hand in hand like the Gallagher brothers. So very nice.
Palladium vibes in the air. Yeah.
I love it.
Absolute vibes in the air. Yeah. You've got to do it, haven't you?
You have to. You've got to do it. You really have. But yeah, it was nice to see. Nice to raise money for the charity. And you'd recovered in time.
Recovered in time.
Because you had a big procedure. So it took a bit longer to get over it, didn't it?
I am now a man who has been fitted. So you will know that a couple of years ago I had spinal surgery to get rid of cancer from my spine.
Yeah.
That left me with a stoma and other issues around the belt line. And one of them is that I leak a lot.
Yeah.
We.
You wouldn't know. I never realised it when you
Oh, no, I
when
wear
you
pants.
Were leaking.
I don't stand up on my trousers and sopping wet. I take measures to shield the public.
I mean, we all do that, mate, so don't worry about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. At your age, I didn't realise how old you were until you said you were doing your A-levels in, 95.
That was at uni in 98. Unbelievable. But, yeah, I am old, but I haven't got a bionic bag like you.
Well, this is it.
Amazing. It's in there now.
It's in there now. Wow. But it's not been activated yet, so...
Oh, is it not inflated as we speak?
It's not inflated, so they have to let it heal first. I've got, it's called an artificial urinary sphincter, which is this like lasso that goes around the pee pipe inside me that tightens it so that when I move around I don't leak.
It's amazing.
And then in order to get, because I will always have to catheterize, to get that down there, I have a button that I press that opens it up, but the button... It's under the skin in a part of the body.
Just floating around there.
That dangles with two pods.
Yes.
In between my pods in the bag, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing that it's there.
Sensational. So I have to go back to the hospital in a couple of weeks and get what they call activated.
Oh, right. So it's not been... They've not put any batteries in it yet? Or do they need to charge it up?
No, you don't charge it up. It's because they need to let the area heal first. Very sore in that area. I mean, you can only imagine. Sensitive part of the body.
No wonder it took you a few weeks to recover. It was black and blue down there, wasn't it?
It wasn't even blue. Jet black. Swollen. I mean... Quite a ferocious sight.
Really, yeah.
Think, crikey. Wow, am I ever going to recover?
It's amazing that you come through that.
But then it's a bit like, you know what? It's autumn, isn't it? And you know how the trees change colour?
Yeah, yeah.
That's I've been going through that process.
You're so on trend, aren't you? Yeah, it's just his autumnal aesthetic. Everyone's doing it, you know.
Purple to green to yellow, and it all just fades and withers away. But it does at your age anyway, doesn't it? Yeah. But thank you for all the lovely messages people have sent me.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah, I'm glad you're recovered. But so we won't have the official unveiling until you've had it fired up.
So what I'm going to do is I'll get it activated in a few weeks and then I'm going to put like a little curtain around it, and if you can unveil it like you're the Prince of Wales.
A little ribbon. I'll cut the little ribbon on there.
Okay, what were you doing in 1998? We've got Em in Pembrokeshire on the line now. Em, you were in Nottingham in 1998.
I was, yeah.
So in 1998 you were working at HMP Nottingham.
I was, yeah.
What doing?
Wow.
I was a catering supervisor.
Oh, really? Wow, Nottingham Prison. In 98, you know, I used to play football around the back of Nottingham Prison.
Oh, right, okay.
Would have been so close. I might have kicked my ball over the fence into the yard area. You could have thrown it back. Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
Do you remember seeing a well-fed boy kicking a ball around?
Well, more reprobates than anything.
Reprobate. There were a few of us there. Yeah, just off Perry Road, isn't it? Hucknall Road, yeah.
That was it,
wow.
So what was the catering like, Em?
Absolutely excellent. It was, they were really well-fed. And then come Christmas, oh, God, they'd have steak and all sorts on.
It really was like a holiday camp.
It really was.
And would people ever complain about the food?
Oh God, yeah, absolutely. But they were generally foundless. It was, if we put parsley on something, it was, I don't like grass on me food.
What's this muck?
Was it a scary place to work?
I suppose. I mean, I was a woman in a men's prison, and... when I first arrived, there was only just over 300 inmates, and I left exactly 7 years later, and there were 670.
And are those two facts related?
Well, they had a life away, and they tended to be quite protective.
So some of them were kind of nice to you then?
Oh, absolutely.
And I guess you're the one feeding them, so...
Yeah.
Well, there is that as well. I had a sharp implement as well.
If I was in prison for whatever reason, I would be very nice to the catering staff to get the odds, you know.
Yeah, you'd be asking for extra scoops of mash every day.
I would, I'm not
you
in prison and I do
the
it.
Only one.
No. Em, it sounds like you have led a phenomenal life.
Yeah.
I feel like we should check in with you every week.
Lovely to talk to you. What a fascinating life story. Yeah, we'll get the next chapter in the coming weeks.
That's about as exciting as it gets, I think, if I'm honest.
That's been wonderful. Cheers, Em. Goals flying in everywhere, Dyson.
Yes, in the Premier League, Brentford are 1-0 up at Brighton. Igor Thiago has scored from the penalty spot. And there's also goals in the Championship. Birmingham have scored a second against Norwich. Not a great start for their new manager. Leicester beating Stoke 1-0 as well. In the SPL, Hibs have just scored. They're 1-0 up against Dundee.
What were you doing in 1998? Text us on 8-12-15 in honour of Scotland qualifying for their first World Cup since 1998. Phil says, I was a few months into basic training for the British Army, 27 years later, still serving.
Whoa, that's impressive.
You legend, Phil.
Yeah, amazing.
On behalf of all of us, thank you very much.
Yes. Wendy from Kilwinning, near Kilmarnock. She's probably been to Loudoun Castle theme park, I'd imagine. Says, I was very lucky to have been at the World Cup in France in 98. Cheering on Scotland. It was an amazing experience. Best fans in the world, says Wendy.
Oh, man. You've got to go, Wendy. Are you going again?
Yeah, you've got to go to the States, haven't you? Come on, make it happen.
28 years later.
Someone else, have you seen this
one? It's a zombie film, I think.
Yeah, someone else who was on the, went to France as well. This Leslie in Worcester, have you seen this text?
No.
Husband, daughter and herself on a ferry to France for our summer holiday in August 98. There was a French guy on deck. And when we could see France, he raised his arms in victory and shouted, in English.
I tell you what, he shouted, Dyson.
Champions of the world. What?
Liverpool nil.
What?
Get in. Murillo. Murillo. Yes. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Oh, we're doing it again.
Yes. History is repeating. 98's happening all over again.
Oh,
last
my
season at
word.
Anfield. Forest 1-0 up. Amazing.
This is unbelievable.
Come on.
And we know it's too early. There's still plenty of time to go. But we just want to say to the Liverpool fans, take it. It is a beautiful day. It's rock and roll football. You can't believe what you're about to hear. Oh, Dyson.
No, it's what a beautiful day. The levellers have said they called it, didn't they? Yeah. Nothing is impossible in my all-powerful Deitch. Forest are 2-0 up at Anfield. Savona has scored, the young Italian left-back. Unbelievable that he's scored. I think it's his second of the season. Forest have had a goal disallowed. We're 2-0 up at Anfield, doing better than we did last season when we got that shock victory in the Premier League. This is unbelievable.
It is absolute carnage. What else is happening elsewhere in the Premier League?
Oh, wow. So who cares? Who cares, to be honest? Who cares? Fulham Sunderland still 0-0. So's Wolves Palace. It's Rob Edwards' first game in charge. He seems to have tightened things up at the back, at least for them. But Brentford are still 1-0 up at Brighton. West Ham 2-0 up at Bournemouth. Oh, what
everyone's
a day.
Talking about this, though.
What a beautiful
Liverpool
day.
Nil, Forest 2.
This is huge.
Now, earlier, about half an hour ago, you were reading out a text, and this happened.
Yeah, husband, daughter and herself on a ferry to France for our summer holiday in August 98. There was a French guy on deck, and when we could see France, he raised his arms in victory and shouted in English.
Champions of the world! Liverpool nil! Get in! Murillo! Oh my word! That's so funny. And he shouted.
And he shouted. Sorry, we realised we'd left you hanging, haven't we, for a long time?
Well, so many people. Gaz in Galston said, what did the French guy say in English? You didn't finish the story.
So sorry. We
got Leslie. And she says, still in Worcester cooking a beef madras. No, cut it in my prime. So Dyson,
so
please.
Sorry. So they're on the ferry to France, August 98, right? They were on board. They could see France. You know, when you're on the outside deck of the ferry, you see France coming through the water. This French guy raised his arms in victory and shouted in English, champions of the world. And it was great. It's a bit underwhelming, perhaps.
They had won the World Cup that year.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. They just won the World Cup. Leslie says, it was great, even as Brits, his utter joy raised the smile.
And do you think, obviously, Titanic was out around this time.
Yeah.
The iconic scene from that is, I'm the king of the world, said from
yes.
the, hollered from
champions
the front of a boat.
Champions of the world, yeah, was he at the
We're
front?
We're the champions of the world. So it's a DiCaprio mashup.
Had extra levels
mashup.
To
oh,
it, yeah, wow.
Story A, story B, it's classic satirical mashup.
I'm glad we caught up on the ending to that story.
Were you that Frenchman? Text us on 8-12-15. Is he still alive?
Well, let's hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
get in touch if you are that guy.
Yeah, if he's not, it's gonna be a heck of a text. Goals flying in everywhere,
yes,
Dyson.
Birmingham have now scored a fourth against Norwich City. Jay Stansfield's second of the game. That new Norwich, you got feel for the new Norwich manager. What a way to start your time in charge of a club. Elsewhere, Middlesbrough have got an equaliser at Oxford United. It's now 1-1 in that game. Portsmouth are beating Millwall 2-0. In Scotland, Rangers Livingston is 1-1 in the second half. Hibs are still beating Dundee 1-0.
In honour of Scotland qualifying for the World Cup for the first time since 1998. What were you doing in 1998? Text us on 81215. Steve says, I became a dad 3 weeks after Scotland lost to Morocco. My son was born during the second half of the France-Brazil final, about the time Desailly got sent off. Oh. The lad is now 27, of course, and has recently become a dad himself.
Wow.
Parallels.
That's great.
So whenever Scotland are in a World Cup, Steve and his family basically
regenerate.
They multiply.
Right. They say that, don't they? When a country does well at a football match, it leads to an increase in babies. Don't they?
Babies.
On that night, don't they? That's what they say. This is sort of what he's saying, isn't
it? That's what they say. Yeah, yeah. Who says this?
They are the people that put together statistics on births, deaths and marriages. Yeah, the National Office for Statistics, as you ask.
The Office of National Statistics.
Sorry, yeah, the Office right. for National Statistics, yeah.
So when nations do well in major sporting tournaments...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone gets...
People get frisky.
...excited, yeah, and frisky, yeah. It's nice, isn't it?
Because this is a huge topic of conversation about the birth rate.
Yeah.
All we need is for the home nations to continually qualify.
Yeah.
And we'll be fine.
The population will be fine, yeah.
That's how we get endless economic growth, is just qualify for tournaments.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I get that if you're feeling good...
It doesn't seem like the obvious way to celebrate, does it? No. More like go out into town and have a few more pints.
Yes, but that can often then lead...
Yes, of course, yeah. Well, it often can lead to that not happening as well, can't it? I mean, if you have too many.
Text us on 8 or 15 if it has ever affected you in that way. Goals flying in everywhere, Dyson.
Yes, Rob Edwards hasn't had the start to his Wolverhampton Wanderers management career that he wanted. It looked like he'd steadied the ship a little bit, but they're now 2-0 down since we last spoke. Palace have scored two in the space of about 7 minutes. Munoz and Pino with the goals. Wolverhampton still bottom of the Premier League table. Forest, speaking of 2-0 up away from home, Forest are still beating Liverpool at Anfield. I keep having to remind myself about that, pinch myself when we say it. Also, huge goal at the Amex, an equaliser for Brighton. Who is it? Of course, it's Danny Welbeck. Pushing for an England place, potentially.
Yeah.
Been the best season he's had for years. And a goal back for Bournemouth as well. A Tavernier penalty. They're now losing 2-1 at home to West Ham. So quite a few goals in the Premier League. Fulham Sunderland still 0-0.
If it stays like this, Forest are out of the bottom three. They'll have a game in hand over Leeds United.
How long have we got left?
But if you can beat Liverpool away from home.
I mean,
I know they're not having the best season. They're still the champions of England.
And Alisson was back in goal, and they were saying him being injured was a big
She's
part
had a great
drop
game.
In form. She has had a great game.
How long's he been there instead of making jokes at her? 10 years in.
Yeah.
Finally thought of it. What were you doing in 1998? Let us know. Text us on 81215. Anna says, hi, gents. A French expat in the UK here. I watched the 1998 final at my uncle's house with my parents, brother and grandma. Imagine the excitement when we won. There's a picture of me somewhere holding some form of vase with a melon on top, pretending it's the World Cup.
Oh,
I'd
yes.
love to see that picture.
Amazing. Oh, lovely stuff, Anna. Great memories from 98.
Lots of people got married in 1998. Someone says, I got married in May 1998. My second date with Mark, my husband-to-be, was watching Charlton against Crystal Palace at the Valley. Ooh. He was on his best behaviour, but I was so engrossed in the game, I stood up and swore at the ref. He must have realised I was the right girl for him. Still happily married after 27 years from Annette.
That was the moment. Oh, that's lovely.
Think that's the girl for me.
Yeah.
I remember when she stood up and said to the ref.
Said some horrible things to a referee.
But it can be. Passion is very attractive.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And as long as, you know, if the ref had made a bad call, fair play. Also, someone else got married in Madeira in 98. I got married and watched most of the footy games on my honeymoon in Madeira. Marriage didn't last, but hey-ho, says Julia in Stansted. There you go.
She spent the whole honeymoon watching football.
Yeah, yeah, possibly that was an issue.
That could have played a part. But yes, I mean, hurling abuse at the ref, I would imagine if that's a first date, usually would have gone the other way.
Right.
People would have gone, oh my God.
Yes.
I'm dating a...
Yeah, a psycho.
Yeah, rather than...
Ooh, oh, yes.
Can I say, when you swore at the ref...
Yeah, she takes no nonsense from the officials, and
really,
I love it.
Really did it for me. And the, you know, the best thing is the officials got it right.
Yeah,
I love the fact that it was mindless. That's what really turned me off. More goals, Dyson.
Yes, in the Championship, Leicester City are now beating Stoke 2-1, QPR 3-2 up at home to Hull. Birmingham, I'm still holding on to that 4-1 lead against Norwich City. In the SPL, Rangers and Livingston still drawing. Hibs have scored a second against Dundee United. Hibs going well this season. They're third in the table as it stands, behind Hearts, who are still top. Lovely to see, lovely to see. And the Premier League is as you were, pretty much.
Stu says, in 1998, I was in Wells, Somerset, on holiday. I remember it for the World Cup final, a bad haircut for me, and being very scared in the Cheddar Gorge caves. My haircut was so bad, I wore a cap all holiday.
Oh, wow. So what was it, 98, I mean?
Wedge undercut.
Probably a wedge, yeah. I had a wedge.
Did you?
I had a wedge in the probably late 80s.
With your hair? I guess it was normal
back then, yeah. I had like curtains, blonde curtains down like with a wedge cut into the back.
Dyed blonde or natural blonde?
Natural blonde, yeah. I told you about my hair colour journey before.
Not that I recall.
Started off white, then it went blonde.
Hang on.
Then it went brown in my like 20s.
White until what
white
age?
Until 5. Pretty
okay.
Much. Like really blonde, very almost white.
Yeah.
Then blonde. Brown in 20s, and then now grey, and then now white. Again.
When did the grey kick in?
White. Probably just before I had kids, so maybe about 10, 15 years ago.
But you've got like dark charcoal grey on one side and a lighter grey on the other.
It's a mixed bag now, isn't it? Yeah, it's almost like highlights, but that unintentionally.
Low lights.
Thanks to Mother Nature.
You've had them all greyed and dulled.
But yeah, they're properly going back to white now.
They are.
Back to white.
We should talk about this in detail another time.
Okay, yeah, great.
Oh, I think Forest might have scored a third.
No way. Wait a minute, we've lost
comms. We've lost comms. Have we? I'm just pressing refresh on the
BBC. Yes!
Yes!
Fucking kids white!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Sitting there blethering on the back of my hair.
What a walking Gibbs white. It is Liverpool 0, Nottingham Forest 3. You Reds! Goals, 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 Dyson.
An equaliser for Bournemouth. They were 2-0 down at home to West Ham. Enes Ünal, the Turkish forward, has now scored an equaliser. It's 2-2. Brighton have scored what looks like it could be a winner. They were 1-0 down at home to Brentford. Danny Welbeck got them back into it. Jack Hinshelwood has scored in the 84th minute. They're now 2-1 up. And Fulham have scored as well at the Cottage of the Craven. Raul Jimenez with a late goal that looks like they should beat Sunderland 1-0. Still time to go. Though Palace still 2-0 up at Wolves, Forest 3-0 up at Anfield.
Okay, we cross now live to the White House for some breaking news.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's great to see all of you on this very newsy day, to say the least. With that, I will take your questions.
Yeah, Mr. President, it's Justice Johnson Jr., National Enquirer. Just wanted your thoughts on this win at Anfield.
I think it's fantastic. As you know, I'm a big fan of Nottingham Forest, we follow them a lot over here. The great Brian Clough.
Ah, yes.
Cloughy! That's what they call to be looking down to be so happy. I'm not so much a fan of Liverpool. I don't like the way they play, but Forest are great. And
nasty team, yeah.
Shane Deesh, he's fantastic. And him and his three little bald men, I think they look very cute. And they tell me that they could actually grow hair. They choose to do that. It's very interesting what they're doing.
Brickmasters, Fox News. Are your thoughts on the Scotland victory, Mr. President?
We're so excited to have them. play in Mexico. It's going to be fantastic. I don't want them anywhere near me. I think they're very strange people. Very aggressive. They're kind of small. I don't understand it. A lot of them are... They can be very short and skinny, but very angry and very strong, and I don't trust anything like that. I worry what they would do to me, and the men wear skirts. I don't trust it. I find it very unsettling. Very unsettling, but I'm happy for them.
Rock and roll football. Podcast done.
Well, there you go. Scotland are going to the World Cup. And Dyson. Do you remember smelling the food from Nottingham, from HMP Nottingham?
No, not really, to be honest. It never really wafted on the breeze from the prison. Because the field where we played was quite away from the fence. But sometimes you could, if you kicked it hard enough, like when my mate Oaksy whacked it over the bar, it sometimes did go over the fence. You know, there were really high fences with the... a circular barbed wire on top, so yeah, pretty high up.
A razor wire.
You have to really hit it hard. But yeah, there were great days playing football on the prison field.
But some murderer will have then had that ball to play with.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
A good deed done.
Yeah, yeah. Some take the lag. Edge off that long stretch. Yeah.
Lags get footies.
Yeah.
Tabloids with your mammoth on the Evening Post.
You see some keepy uppies.
Yeah, balls for lags. Yeah. Slammed. Balls for lags campaign slammed by locals. Local victims slam balls for lags.
Balls for lags. But your balls don't lag anymore, which is great.
They don't.
Well, as we found that in today's show. So, yeah.
They don't. I've got magic balls now.
You have. Yeah, you really
have. In a few weeks' time, I'll be pressing that button.
Yeah. Can't wait for that to happen. It's going to be a big day.
That's so good to have us both back. I mean, what I mean is, it's good to be...
It's good to
be
back together. Yeah, it's great. It's been great.
Leave a 5-star written review for the podcast, please. Helps us get up the charts. And, you're off for a couple of weeks.
See you soon. Yeah, I'm off for a couple of weeks.
Where are you going?
I'm going... It's my daughter's birthday next weekend.
Right.
So, and then I'm going abroad. I don't know if I can say where I'm going yet. I don't think I can.
Why not? Is it for work?
It's just not been announced. I don't even think I should be saying
this. Do you know where you're going? How controlling is your wife?
I don't know.
It's not been announced.
She's very strict. She's embargoed the information.
She's going to announce it at a press conference. Yeah.
No. I mean, you'll find out eventually.
Wow. Okay.
It's not that exciting. I don't know, A, if I'm actually going, B, who's going to go with me, and C, you know... I don't think I can say.
Floating prison boat.
Oh, no. I said don't say.
See you next week.